Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kuf Chaf Aleph. Is that where we're up to?
No.
Oh, did we not finish Kuf Chaf yet?
We did not.
Oh, great. Where are we up to? Ah, that's where we're up to. Yes, I'm in the middle of Yudala. Thank you for reminding me. Great. Okay. Ein Makul.
Okay.
Noah, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Run down to my office, and as you walk in, like you're facing the other end of the L of the desk, the short part of the L of the desk, under a green, under a big gray loose leaf is a pile of papers. Can you bring this, please?
All right.
Under a big gray loose leaf on the desk, someplace. Okay. Okay. Eima minim katan al tfilas kelim. We just mentioned that I think that we had mentioned that there was a machlok rishonim of the tfilas kelim was the rice or drabanan. The Rambam said it's drabanan. The Rambam on the Torah suggests drabanan. We pass against the rice. And the nafkminas we don't believe katanim. There, I think we might have also mentioned the issue discussed in the Pesach Tshuva and the Kiva Eger here, which is what about a glass kelim? We put a cut on a glass kelim. You have to have a glass kelim or only drabanan. So that is a big machlokus. Because even though normally you believe a cut on drabanans, Rabbi Akiva Eger suggests maybe not in this drabanan because it's not his kelim, so therefore he's not invested enough to be believable. And the Pesach Tshuva suggests maybe here it's the Cheskes Isser. We know it was Isser until now, so maybe we wouldn't believe a cut on. So therefore it's better not to send a cut on to total metal kelim or glass kelim. Even though glass kelim were only drop button.
Wouldn't the answer then you couldn't trust anyone else, even if they were
adults, not theirs? No, that's only by the time of that restriction. Adults, Adach and Amir, sorry, Adus. Adus is always on things that aren't yours. It's only by the time these restrictions apply.
But the fact that he has a Maisa cut and everybody agrees.
Ah, so that's what we left off with, okay? So, adds the Ramah here, which is the obvious implication of the Mechaber, Avlov Toklo, Toklo, Thigolo, Tzvila. Be'etzem the Tzvila of a Katan. Perfect. Be'etzem the Tzvila of a Katan is good enough. Right? If you watch a Katan Toklo, it's good enough. Be'etzem a Katan is okay. The Maisa Tzvila of a Katan is fine. He just is known as Manus. If you send a Katan or Katan on his or her own, you can't believe them. Maybe they got lazy, distracted. Maybe they played with their friends in the park and they didn't total it. But if you watch them, the etzem mice is good enough. Likewise, we see in Tesla, Hitbol Kalo, the Ovikocham, Ofelim Tvila, Havalino Neman Al Tvila. There was not anything to the Machaber. The Machaber is just saying, we don't trust the Katan. Of course, we also don't trust the guy. But as far as doing the mice, if you're watching, even a guy is good enough. And so is a Katan. So there's no machlokas here. The Ramaz just explicating what Machaber meant. Goy and Katan are the same status. We don't believe them because they have no memonis in the Torah. Echad Nemisurim does not apply to a Katan, doesn't apply to a Goy. But the Etzem Maisa Tzvila, I don't care if a Goy does it, a Katan does it, if a monkey does it, if a parrot does it. The Etzem Maisa Tzvila doesn't matter who does it, it's always kosher. Now, Zeb asks, is that so pasha? Really? It's so pasha that whoever does the Maisa Tzvila, it is okay. After all, why is Zev asking that question? Because in Hilchas Nida, we have the same issue. Agav, let me point out. For the purposes of Tovatara, I'm sorry, Tovling for Truma, for Kudshim, for sure you need Kavana. Kavana means
you need
Das. You need to be an adult Jew. Right? What about for the purposes of Chulin? For the purpose of the Toma Vatara for Chulin purposes. Such as, what does all this have to do with us nowadays? Toma Vatara Chulin purposes is a lady going to the mikvah so she can be with her husband. Right? That's not Truma, it's not Kutchin. So, it's a machlokas in your day, Hilchas Nida. The Machaber says that the Iker day is that even without Kavanah your Yotzei, but Hiramas is for Machlokas Hachila, like the day that you need Kavanah. We are machmir that if a woman who's in nida goes to the mikvah without kavana, it's not a likely thing to happen, right? Well, let's say she was walking on the bridge wearing loose-fitting clothing and a very low bridge, and she's walking on the riverbank wearing loose-fitting clothing. She had to trip and fell in the river without any kavana. So then we paskin that even though it's a machlokas, really, preferably, you should go and tovel again, and we try to be machmir in this machlokas of tvila without kavana. So the question is, if in Hilchos Nida we're machmer on the machlokas of Tovling that you need kavana, so how come here a goy is good enough? That doesn't count as halachic kavana. How come a kafan is good enough? That doesn't count as halachic kavana. So that's what the Taz deal. I'm sorry. That's what the Taz deals with. And the Taz says, cut the Mela, if you want to add in that Gadol is showing him what to do, that can count, but it doesn't say that here. So Lamaisa says the Taz, it must be that we're Mekel here, because this is less than even Nida, than even Tum of Atara, etc. Why is this? Why is this less? Because here, it's not in the Tum of Atara. By Nida, there's Tumah Vatara, right? She's Tumah and then she's Tohara. Over here, it's not an Inyan of Tumah Vatara. It's just an Isser of Exeris Akasa of the Tovo Klein Lo the Gunyan. It's not Dine Tumah Vatara. And therefore, what is the Ramah assuming and the Machaber assuming here? Even though, again, by Tumah Vatara, we're Machmir and require Kavana, over here, it's not an Inyan of Tumah Vatara, just Exeris Akasa of Kalim of Gunyan. Therefore, we're Mekel that you don't need Kavana. That's clearly what the Ramah and Machaber hold, and the Maskana of the Taz, who analyzed this in Sivkat and Tes Zayin. And therefore, Halacha Lamaisa, even if you tripped and your Kli accidentally fell in the mikvah, that would also be good enough, because you don't need Kavana for Tvilas Kelim. And it's more Mekel than Nida, because it's not Midini Tumah Vatara. It's just a special rule of Klei Goyim.
You don't need Koach Gavra either.
No, you certainly don't need Koach Gavra. The question is only Kavana.
Even though by Netilas Yadayim.
Netilas Yadayim is different. Netilas Yadayim is different. Because that's Netila, and Netila is different than Tshuva. Okay. The Tesayin, and that's it. Im Shvav. Okay. Im Shachav lo hitbo klumi erev shav erev yontif. Remember, we mentioned that you're not allowed to use a Klei before totaling it. So what if you're stuck? Let's say you forgot to tovel your kli before Shabbos and Yom Tov, and it's also your tovel on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And this is Rabbani, you're not allowed to tovel kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So what are you supposed to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov? You didn't tovel your kli, right?
It's because it's like you're talking.
Because it's like fixing it, like it wasn't usable and now it's usable. So obviously it's only Rabbani mida, right? So you're not physically doing anything. You're Rabbani, you're not allowed to tovel kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So what happens if Shabbos and Yom Tov you've got to tovel your kli? So the Mechaber here allows a loophole. So you give it to a guy matana, and then you borrow it from him. Remember, if you borrow it from a guy, you're not chayv in tefillah. Only if you own it, you bought it from the guy. So if you give it back to the guy and then borrow it from him, you're not chayv in tefillah, because the guy is clean, not a clean you bought from a guy.
Are you allowed to give a guy matana?
What?
It's about funding.
So, l'chor, the Yisr Baltach, it's an interesting question. What about l'tachanim? You're not supposed to give a goy a matana. So, l'chor, I think the most simple over. You're allowed to give a goy a matana if it's to help some need of yours. If you're just not allowed to, you know, go walk in the street and say, I'm in a nice mood, and, you know, I want to give everyone a matana. But over here, where it's useful for you, then you're allowed to. It's not only Shabbos and Yom Tov. What if you're cold and you're stuck someplace where there's no mikvah and there's no ocean and lake and river, etc.? Then what are you supposed to do? You can also do this trick of giving it to a guy matan and borrowing back from him. What if you're over and use a kli without toveling and it doesn't make the food treif? It's exeris akasa, it's not kasher. It's just exeris akasa to tovel it. So if you cook in a pot without toveling, the food's still kosher. And you'll tovel your pot now. It doesn't mean if you use it once without toveling, you can never tovel it. No, you have to tovel it now, but the food is still kosher.
Can you make a hefker and then borrow, like, use it, but not like take a part of it?
So the it's not discussed by the find the Nosei Kelim here, but I think someone discussed it.
Isn't it a famous story? Yeah, but nonetheless.
Isn't it a famous story of Lichtenstein? Yeah, but nonetheless. Yeah, but we don't hold that way. I forget where I saw this discussed. Lemaisa, I saw someplace in the postkin that you have to give it to a guy. Hefker is not good enough. Here we are. Yeah. So, So he quotes, here it is. He quotes in the Maral Diskin, who's been dying from this Shulchan Aruch, that being mafkir is not good enough because you have to give it to a guy. So the mice, you should give it to a guy, not be mafkir. There's a very important pause here. He says,
wasn't there that story of Rav Lichtenstein?
Yeah, so that...
that's not true, or...?
Nah, not sure. Certainly on that. Anyway, Yud Ches says the Taz here in Yud Ches, he says, a very important restriction. He says, nearly da'i tikuna ein ol fishah. This trick of giving it to a guy and buying it back from is only temporarily. When the Mechaber says Shabbos Yantiv, in 24 hours, it won't be Shabbos Yantiv anymore. What if the Rambam say, if you're someplace with no mikvah, you'll go someplace where there is a mikvah in a stam. How long is the person going to live someplace without a mikvah? So that's only temporarily. But afterwards, you have to go and take it back to the guy forever and total it. This trick only works temporarily. Why? Because if you would say, I'm going to give it to a guy as a present and borrow it back permanently, then it's like you took it back. If you borrow it permanently from him, it's like you own it. It's like the guy who gave pawn something and never intended to take it back. If a guy gives you something and never intends to take it back, then that's, you can't use that big of a loophole. If, right, you say to the guy, I'll give it to you if you lend it to me back forever. Then he's really giving it to you, and therefore that's not, the Taz does not allow this.
Not what we said last week.
Hold on a second. So the Taz says he's not 100% sure about this. Therefore he says, if you give it to a guy and borrow that for a day, that's a proper loophole, the Mechav and the Ramah allow it. That's what you should do if you're stuck. But if you give it back to a guy and borrow it forever, or for a very, very long term, you know, that's practically forever. Then he says, he's not sure to total it without a bracha. However, Zer points out that last week we saw the first Rabbi Kiva Eger, he mentioned, if you have something that there's no way to total, you should give it back to a guy and borrow forever. Therefore, the post-Rabbi Dayak and Paskin, based on this Rabbi Kiva Eger, that they make up Shara. When you could possibly total it with a little tircha, then you're not allowed to give it back to a guy and borrow it forever. Then you can only use this loophole temporarily. However, if there's no way to total it, then we're makel to use this loophole even permanently, even though the Taz is not comfortable with it. So, basically, we make up sure this Taz. If you have another option, even Bitircha, you're not allowed to use this loophole permanently. But if there's no other option whatsoever, then you can use this loophole even permanently. So let's say someone has an appliance that would break if you totaled it. It's electronic or whatever the Shita is. And there's just nothing you can do. Then you can give it to a guy and borrow it back permanently. And even though we don't really like relying on that permanently, if we have no choice, we will. Okay, one last thing I wanted to mention before we move on. There was one important issue that we didn't summarize, which I just want to spend a few moments on, which is the issue of... here we are. The issue of, which is on the Makud that the Shita Zirax and give out, which we're not going to read the Makoros inside, but I'll just tell you which Makoros we're talking about. We already did through 7, 8, through 14. Yeah, Makoros 15 and on. The question of, right, meaning the last two pages. Question of, what about cans and bottles that the food comes in? You buy a can of Coke, comes in a can. You buy a can of pickles, it comes in a can. You buy a bottle of Snapple. You buy a bottle of soda, usually comes in plastic, but some things come in glass. Sometimes you buy things in glass bottles. What?
A jar of coffee.
A jar of coffee, or you buy a bottle of scotch, it comes in a glass bottle, right? So there are sometimes you buy things in metal, sometimes you buy cookies, it comes in a metal tin. You buy things in metal or glass containers, you have to total those or not. So here...
Before you used it.
Hold that thought. So there are different coolas here. There are different coolas here. There are some coolas which are let's mention different coolas. One coola is the famous coola of Rav Moshe. This coola is across the board. This is the biggest coola in terms of, it's making in all cases in all possible scenarios. Says Rav Moshe, a big chish. He says, you didn't, let's say I buy a bottle of Snapple, right? And says Rav Moshe, I did not buy a glass cleat from the guy. bought iced tea from the guy. The iced tea had a shell, but that wasn't a clee. That was part of the iced tea. If I empty out the iced tea and then I decide to use this to drink water from, and I decide to use this forever, then I have a new clee that I got myself that I didn't buy from the guy. His basis is in Hilchos Ma'aser Sheni, right? In Hilchos Ma'aser Sheni, you're only allowed to spend Ma'aser Sheni money on food. What if I buy a barrel of wine? Buy a $100 barrel of wine. I mean, that's not $98 for the wine, $2 for the barrel. I mean, they don't break it down, but obviously. So, I drink the wine. What do I do with the barrel? The answer is the barrel is chulin. I paid money for the wine. The barrel doesn't count. So Moshe extrapolates from here, big finish. He says, we see from here, anything which is just meant to hold food doesn't count as buying a kli. Therefore, I didn't buy the kli from the guy. Patur l'gamrei. So Moshe says, mutter. Everyone says. Question is, why is it mutter? Mutter because what? The Midi Yisrael was always to be made. We always bought, they bought seltzer, they bought whatever it was in Europe. Everyone in Europe was mekel to buy things in glass containers from the goyim. So the Moshe is mutter because the container is batel to the food and you didn't buy a kli from a guy. You only bought food from a guy. Yes?
Let's say you have two different drinks of Coca-Cola, right? One of them's in a glass bottle, one of them's in a aluminum can, and they're both the same amount of ounces and everything, but different prices.
Doesn't matter.
So can we still say this?
It doesn't matter. It's clear. As long as it's clear, the only reason they gave you that bottle is that they made that bottle to hold the Coke. I mean, if you would tell me, no, someone sells like a fancy dish, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where it's clear that they manufactured this as a way of selling their product. The fact it's different prices, who knows what the reason it might be. Maybe the reason different prices is one kli is more expensive and lasts longer than the other. I don't care. The kli is bottled to the food because everybody knows. You ask the people in Coca-Cola, why do they have these glass jars? They say, so we can hold our Coke. So it can be sold.
Right, but doesn't the difference in prices reflect the fact that you're also buying...
Doesn't matter. I'm not talking about what an economist would say. I'm talking about what Ramosha would say. Okay, that's Ramosha. And the question is the hekeif. How do you say hekeif? In English. Extent of the heter. For Ramosha in all cases. We'll see what I mean by contrast. Let's take another shot. The... Chelkis Shut Chelkis Yaakov quotes from the Shut Pri Hasadeh. The Chelkis Yaakov is going to be inside of many stars. Chelkis Yaakov says, why? Because, remember, if you borrow a kli from a guy, you're potter, only if you buy it, you're chayiv. So what do they say? Any yid who buys Snapple, Snapple's made by a guy, let's assume. Or at least by Shut for some Jews and Goyim. Any Yid who buys Snapple, he's only buying the Snapple, he's borrowing the glass jar. He's only borrowing the glass jar, he's buying the Snapple, borrowing the glass jar. Meaning, says, an umdina that you have in mind not to be koneh the kli. You don't have to have in mind to give it back. You could have in mind to throw it in the garbage. Why? I might not be calling the kli. It's still the guy's kli. But it's mutter to throw a guy's kli in the garbage if he's not makbid. Mutter to throw a Jew's kli in the garbage also if he's not makbid. If I go to your house and you have a kli that you don't want, I'm allowed to throw it in the garbage, right? That's not an unethical thing to do. So obviously the guy don't want this borrowed kli back. If the guy don't want it back, it's mutter to throw in the garbage. And there's not like keeping it forever. So I'm not like the Taz Aser. Yeah. I'm not giving it forever. I'm drinking it once and throwing it in the garbage. The extent of this, first of all, they say that preferably, you should have in mind explicitly not to go to the clean. Right?
So you can't collect the picadon.
That's an interesting question because Adarabo, the picadon might be better, not worse. Why?
Worse.
Because maybe
the 30 cents.
No, but maybe, it depends. See, usually, sometimes the word pikadon means that it's really not yours in the first place. Therefore, you're leaving a deposit for it, you're getting your deposit, right? Yeah. Meaning that you pay the pikadon first, right? So I left a deposit, because it's your item, I have to give it back to you. So I know that cuts both ways. That cuts both ways. If I go to a gemach of wedding dresses, right? I give them 500 shekel, I take the wedding dress, when I give it back, they give me my 500 shekel back. The fact that I'm getting 500 shekel proves it's not mine. So here it's a little trickier, because is the pikadon really a pikadon?
It's two different dollars.
Right, okay, sir. So it's a good question.
What's two different dollars?
Right, it's a good question, but I'm not convinced even with the pikadon that this is necessarily possible, because after all, maybe I'm returning the guy's kli for a pikadon. Is that unethical to return someone else's kli for a pikadon? Only if you're the prime minister. Otherwise, I think for regular citizens, they don't mind so much. So as long as you don't make political enemies, then it's fine. It's the guy's kli. Why am I getting the pikadon? Because the guy's not going to get the pikadon, so I'm sure he doesn't mind if I get the pikadon. So yesh lahakel. Of course, the nafkumin of this is that the extent of this heter is that it... it doesn't work if you want to keep it forever. That's the task. You can't say, meaning, let's say I want to buy this and I want to use it and reuse it and reuse it. Right? And buy cookies in a tin and I want to keep using this tin. Then it wouldn't work. I obviously do intend to acquire it. It only works for, you know, Snapple bottles that I'm going to throw in the garbage. Some people might drink water out of Snapple bottles, no? Do some people drink out of Snapple, refill a Snapple bottle?
Wine bottles.
What?
Wine.
A lot of people use wine bottles for water. In the restaurants, sometimes they use wine bottles for water. But some of them don't total them. So I don't, then this hatcher wouldn't work. They must hold it for motion.
A lot of times on these Snapple caps, they have like sweepstakes things you can win, you know, like if you scratch off the thing.
That's the cap, not the bottle.
So that's clearly yours.
No, that's the cap. What does the cap have to do with the bottle?
So there's the cap is also not the drink that you're buying.
No, but it doesn't matter. I'll have mine to acquire the cap and not the bottle. Probably. Okay. Another hatcher. The Maral Diskin and Rishloma Zalman said.
Why is the cap not a cleat?
What?
Right. You have to totally. Oh,
the cap is a cleat, but I'm not using the cap. Oh, you said
it doesn't touch the liquid. It doesn't touch anything.
Okay, Sarkian. The Maral Diskin. And Rishloma Zalman say, they give a different hector. What do they say? They say, emptying once is not called shimush. You're not allowed to use a kli without totaling it. Use a kli means you take a kli and you put it into food, or you put food into it. That's using a kli. Using the kli means you either put the kli into food, like a fork and a knife and a spoon, or you put food into the kli, like a glass or a bowl. But to just empty out the food that's already there, that's not called shimush. It's already full of food. To take the food out is not shimush. Shimush is to use it for food in the first place. If it's already full of food and you're just emptying it out, that's not called shimush. Or Shlomo Zalman has a little cleverness. He says, and if you wanted to total it, you wouldn't have to take out the food first. So that shows you're allowed to take out the food. Taking out the food is mutter. Of course, this only works. Oh, right. Usher to reuse, right? This holy matter is emptying at once. Doesn't matter putting water in your Snapple bottle and drinking again. Doesn't matter taking a tin and filling it. It doesn't matter taking a coffee can and filling it with something else. Although, usher to reuse for food.
Yeah.
Meaning it would be fine if I bought a tin of coffee, coffee can. I want to empty out the coffee and then keep pencils in it. That's fine. Emptying out the coffee, not shimush, and then I'm putting pencils in it. So according to shot two, it would be usser. I want to keep pencils in it forever. But according to heter three, it would be mutter because I'm just emptying out the coffee.
So you probably could refill it with coffee, but it's not pleased to
do it. Well, if you're correct, meaning some of these things are only storage kalim, so that's an additional tzad l'hakel, and especially storage kalim, things that aren't ready to eat yet, like coffee. Correct, as opposed to Snapple and Coke. Okay, another famous heter is the Chazon Ish, of course.
It's not the same thing that we built for Shabbos, for the fact that you can open that, but it's not considered
taking kli because we just use them to take other stuff. It's not the same concept.
Ah, okay, let me get that in a second. But first let me say the opposite of that, just because there's a famous kula chazanish only for cans. What's the famous kula chazanish for cans? Alpi the chazanish. Alpi the chazanish. Everyone has a kula for cans.
Why is it alpi the
chazanish? Chazanish doesn't say this explicitly, but it's pretty mocher. Menachem, if you're the chazanish, why would you matter open that it's okay for me to open a Coke can and then use it as much as I like, open a can of corn or coffee and use it as much as I like?
Because you created...
Because the Jew made the kli, not the guy. Remember the sheet of the chazanish, the chumen hilchos Shabbos? A closed can is not a kli. Whoever opens it makes a kli. Ah, so according to chazanish pashut, the guy didn't make a kli. He made a non-kli. Only a Jew made a kli. Lamaisa, we don't normally assume that way, but because whoever opens the can made the kli. Now, of course, that means I can't let my housekeeper open the can, right? But if I open the can, then, or Yid opens the can, then it's a Jewish-made kli. Based on the unique sheet of the Chazanish, that a closed can is not called a kli in halacha. Well, I'm not saying we normally assume that way, but according to Chazanish, cans are a non-issue. The other heter, which is perhaps the big heter, which is found in many, 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 many kelim, Chelkis Yaakov, Idris Moshe. When I write a name twice, it means that he mentions both of them. Minchas Yitzchak says, disposable is not a kli. This is the famous heter for aluminum pans. Right? Disposable is not a kli. This is based on partially in the Shav Yaakov. Remember, so Shav Yaakov says whatever's not makabel tumah is not a kli for this either. And normally we assume disposable things are both shikruv and not makabel tumah. Or even without that, it could be that whatever's disposable is not called a kli suda. The kli suda and the parsha are things that are useful many times. And this this really is in different words what Zev was saying before, although perhaps in different words. Disposable is not a kli. And again, what are the nafkaminas? I'll just point out for Hilchos Shabbos. This gets a little more complicated, but we know many posts would say, you're allowed to open anything on Shabbos if you're just going to empty out and throw in the garbage. Why? Because that's not making a kli. Just you can empty something out and throw in the garbage, not making a kli. A kli is something, okay, not exactly the same, but I'm not passing the whole Shabbos now, but many posts commit makubal that disposable kli are not a kli. So what is the, what would this heter apply to? Only. Now, disposal, Moshe says, it doesn't matter if you intend to throw it out. I could buy something, intend to throw it out, because I happen to not need it. We're all rich nowadays. We throw out lots of good stuff. Right? Most of what we throw out in the garbage is useful. Most of what we throw in the garbage, if someone had in sub-Saharan Africa, they would think it's useful. It's just not useful enough to justify shipping it to sub-Saharan Africa or rural China. But most of it, so if you have something perfectly useful and throw it out, that's not called disposable. Disposable means it's physically not fit for many uses, like a Coke can. A can of Coke, you just can't use it a lot of times. It's not good enough. It's not strong enough to be used many times. So this would only apply to weak kalim. Strong kalim, meaning a Snapple bottle, you could probably use 1,000 times. It's just as strong as the dishes that I have in the house, right? That I pay a lot of money for. Or a wine bottle, you could use a gazillion times if you so desired. We might not, but you could. So it's hard to call that disposable, as opposed to a can of Coke, which is really not good for using many times, or even a can of corn or other things. Like, it's really not so useful. It's not useful for using many times. It falls, it gets dented. Once you open it, it's not really... It's not really so useful anyway. So this would be a great heter. And I would point out separately, this is the heter for disposable aluminum pans, right? Why do is there a common minhag to use aluminum pans without toppling them? Not because we're making a lot of aluminum. Like, so we pointed out we're not for the aluminum needs tefillah. Because aluminum pans are, in many places, they're not so strong. I mean, clearly, when they sell aluminum pans, they don't mean for you to use them for a long time like you use regular pots and pans. Right? So aluminum pans, you're supposed to use once or twice and throw them in the garbage because they're not made to hold up long term. And therefore, now it gets a little tricky, because some people try and push the envelope and are very frugal and stretch the aluminum pans, and you know, and it's unclear exactly where the borderline is. Like, what if you're going to try to use a lot of time to get 20 uses out of it over a few weeks? Like, what if you cross the borderline from a disposable clee into a regular clee if you use it very carefully?
Maybe you put it on top of the hot plate upside down and you use it forever, the same as aluminum pan.
Okay, but then that's not suitable.
Sometimes you put it on the food items.
Okay, so the mice said although even that, you know, you put heavy food on the aluminum pan, it's going to get squished.
If you want to heat up the schnitzels faster, okay. You don't have an extra
leg. I see. Anyway, so the mice are certainly, if you're going to use it once or twice to throw it out, the vinegar is to be somich on this kula. Just I'll mention some of the other svaras. I won't mention all the other svaras, but I'll mention a couple of other.
Isn't the fact that it's a
clear soul? Well, some are, aren't. Meaning, a Snapple bottle is not a clear soul. You drink from it.
No, but it's still a clear soul.
No, if you drink from it, it's not a clear soul. Whatever you, because if you use it at the Suda, that's not the kula of Kli Yachson. And you use it at the Suda, even if it doesn't improve the food, is Kli Suda. So, on the other hand, a can of corn, for example, has an additional Tzad L'Hakol that it's only a storage Kli, which might not be a Kli Suda. It's correct. But, so, L'maisa, here are just some of the heterim that are mentioned by the Poskim. Here are some of the tim that are mentioned by the poskim. Halacha lemaisa, the minig is to be makel with regard to cans and bottles and things that the food comes in, based on the fact that many of these kulas will apply. However, the one case which is a little less pashut is if you really plan to use something many times, this kula doesn't apply, it's not disposable, this kula doesn't apply, you're going to reuse it, that's because they're actually using. This kula doesn't apply, because l'chora, if you're going to keep it forever, then the Taz would say that's not such a pashut heter, you know, maybe it's not a can, then you're relying only on Rav Moshe. So, l'maisa, in many places, the minhag is to rely on Rav Moshe, and therefore, across the board, any container for food, again, I don't mean you go someplace and you really pay separately for like a dish and candy and buy two things. That's not in the Rosh Kula. I mean a container that food comes in the supermarket. Most places, the minhag is to be making like a Moshe and across the board heter. You don't have to think about it no matter what the circumstances. However, there are those who are machmir, that if you want to use something once, then you have many heterim. But if you want to reuse something many times, you want to reuse something on a permanent basis, then you should tovel it. So the minhag olam, I think, from what I've seen, is to be somewhat of a Moshe across the board. One wants to be more machmir. If you want to reuse something forever, you would tovel it without a bracha.
I don't understand, I guess, what I'm saying. Why is it only up to the buyer to determine what he's buying? It should also matter what the intention of the seller is. Like, we're only focused on what the buyer is. Shouldn't buy it, but the seller also
is. In which one did I say? Ah.
In both one and two.
You mean two and three?
Because
one is equal to both of them. They both.
Okay,
and Hanami, because these the bios of the buyer depend only on the buyer. The rule is when you give me something, it's up to me whether I own it or not. I have a veto power on owning something.
So
that's why two only
focus on it.
Yes. Everyone has a veto power. No one has to own anything they don't want. No one has to own anything they don't want.
And once they choose to buy it, though, then they...
No, I can choose to buy half another. I don't understand. If I subscribe to the Daily News...
Yeah.
You remember once upon a time they printed the Daily News and a guy delivered it to you physically? Right? If I subscribe to the Daily News and they bring it to me on Pesach with a free sample of a granola bar inside... So what do? I have in mind that I want the Daily News and I don't want the granola bar. I have every right to do that. I have every right to say I want this molecule and not that molecule. No one has to own any molecule they don't want to.
Even if you knew that the granola bar was on beforehand?
What? Okay, perhaps, correct.
Even if you knew that the granola bar...
Yes, even if I know the granola bar beforehand. Yes, absolutely. Okay.
I understand what you said about people want to be mocked. You're talking about I'm not the Vimatman, they should take out the stuff.
No, no, no. Bottom. Okay.
That I never heard of.
So no, no, okay. So this is what I meant. I meant that the, what I'm seeing, Mina Golem is always tricky. Because, it depends which one. But what I've seen the Mina Golem is like number one, to always be Mina Golem. A out of the box, a brisker chumra that is not makabel in the belt at all, right? A very rare chumra is to be so many on nothing and to be so much that's not even so shy. Okay. The truth is, even those are even. What I mean to say is that. Yesh makom lahachmir to be somech on everything but Rav Moshe's Chiddush Svara, and therefore to be tovel if you want to use it long term.
After you took out the stuff. After you finish using it.
Lechora, you could be totally even after you empty it, because before you empty it, you could be with Sarah 1 and 3. So, to be told, well, before you want to reuse it, at least. Okay, that would be Malcolm Lahakra on that, but a lot of people are making like a Moshe. Okay, there are those who are in Bachmir, not to be so much on any of these, and they won't, well, rather, there are those who are Machmir to be so much, let's say a little better, on, on number partially. If you're still going to empty something, that's not called using it. But if you're going to drink from it, that is called using it. So those who are mocker, they won't drink from the Snapple bottle without totaling it. They'll just pour it into a different bottle. But that's not so mainstream. So those who are the mocker, they won't drink from it because they're so much on three, but only if you don't drink from it. Drinking from it is using it. But that's not so common. Although you will probably meet some people. Okay, so there are the real Yesh Machmirim. Yes, I think let's quote Rav Schechter's is that are somit on three, but not to drink from the container, and you see the slur. Yeah. Just keeping something in the container until you get a chance to take it out is not using it. But drinking from it is using it. Your mom is using it to drink. Okay, that's they quote Schefter's like that, right? That he won't drink from the Snapple bottle. In any case, I think he holds a rope, shouldn't drink from the bottle. But he won't drink from the Snapple bottle. Rather, he'll pour it into something else. Okay, let us go on now to Kuf Chaf Aleph. We have plenty of time. It's only 11:24. And the kochavala seder hechsher kelim nicknem min ha'oved kochavim halokeh kelim yishanim min oved kochavim k'derosh yishanim shem kochavim kachar sherim. The key is the yisod is if you buy kelim from a goy k'derosh yishanim shem kochavim kachar sherim kibolo kach polto. The way you the goy used it and absorbed the traits, that's the same way you have to kasher lifi kach. Lefikach. Now, he's going to get into a tangent here. Basically, what he's going to say is that... sorry. What he's going to say is that if you use something cold, you just have to wash it up in cold water. If you use something in boiling water, you have to put it in boiling water. If you use something on an open flame, you have to put it in a flame. Okay, so we're going to start that off. Lefikach. Halokeh li tash v'shanu sh'sham sh'am tzone. If you buy, use Caleb... That the guy only used coal, even coal sorts of stuff is good to them, like cups and pitchers and such. Madicha. Now, nowadays, by the way, this is a little trickier. Because, why is it a little trickier? Even things you use for cold food. Nowadays, what has changed to make it more chumer? They wash it in hot water. Right? In those days, they didn't use things in cold food and wash it in hot water. They washed them in cold water. Because they didn't have running hot water.
What so, are we talking about?
We're talking about things used for cold food, like drinking glasses. They used to drink cold drinks.
For eating?
It doesn't matter, because they have food remnants on it, and then wash it in hot water, then eat into a whole shayla of exactly the way they wash it in hot water. Does it cause a bleed? Does it not cause a bleed? Is it kli rishon? Is it kli sheni? Is there shishim? Is it pogum, etc.? But lemaisa, it's not so pasha nowadays. Nowadays, the general assumption is even things used to eat cold, we are choshesh, are you like things used in hot water, because you wash them in hot water when they still have food on them. So that's like cooking the food in them. Okay, it gets complicated.
Is there a klisuda when they're using that?
It doesn't matter. Kukhav Aleph is not about suda anymore. It's about being bolea. Now we've left the realm of suda, we'll have one tie-in, and we've gotten into the realm of blia. Okay, so, but in any case, let's assume you had a case like the old days, where they only used it cold, they never used it with anything hot. So, if you buy things that are only used cold, madichan, you just have to rinse them. What does it mean to rinse them? No, you have to scrub them well with the water while you rinse them. I mean, rinse them doesn't mean like a quick rinse. It means scrubbing well, like we consider to be proper cleaning of dishes. In order to remove any shemotz of isser that's on them. And then you rinse them off, right? Like we do, we scrub it and then we rinse it off. They would dip, but same idea. Umatbilan, then you toivel them, and they are mutter. Okay, so first you scrub off the be'en, the shmutz on them, and then you toivel them, and that is mutter. Let us read the Ramah. Yesh makomo shenogu heter. This is a very unique, localized din that is not really relevant to modern day metzius. But the problem was that some of the barrels, they would seal the cracks of the barrels, like between the staves of the barrel, with chilev, with trey fat, and you couldn't clean. It was you couldn't clean that off because it was like it. So yesh mekom shenogu heter losim yayin bekem shenisrei midbakim bechilev neishateva yayin lebrach bechilev bechilev nekrosh yom gatzmi nugeh kol b'yayin. Some place at the kula that you're allowed to store wine in barrels, even where in between the staves of the barrels they use chilev, because it's a very unique property, a unique feature of these particular things, that it's the nature, chemically, that the wine does not absorb from the chalev, it's repelled from the chalev, and the chalev is solidified and stands on its own and doesn't mix. Okay, some people are making, because they hold that in this particular case, the chalev will not get into the yayin because of the nature of the chemical interaction between them. That's not so relevant because we don't have this exact case nowadays. Continuing the mechaber. Lokman kelesh shem mechaber. If you buy from goyim, kalim are used in for trade with hot water, with boiling water. Whether they are metal or wood or stone, magiwan you do hagala, meaning you put them in boiling water, and then you tovel them if they're metal or glass. Okay, here's the controversial part. In both cases, we said this is based on the Gemara. The Gemara is this case. The Gemara says, if you buy things used for cold, you rinse them and tovel them. If you buy things used for cooking in hot water, you do hagala and tovel them. If you buy things used for barbecuing, you do liba and then you tovel them. Is the order dafka? Does it have to be kashering and then toveling? Remember, kufchof is about toveling. That was only metal and glass, I'll be xeris akasov, whether new or used, and only has to do with acquiring from a gun. Kufchof aleph and on, in the order we're going, I mean, not in the order of Shofanar, is about kashering. Kashering is for applies to all different kinds of materials. Is only for used materials that they use for that they use for trade, and has nothing to do with ownership. Right? If you borrow from a guy, you also have to kasher before you eat it. And even if it was Jewish the whole time, if you accidentally trade it up, you have to kasher. Right? That only is with blios. So this little half a sip is the relationship between the two demons. There's tefillah and there's hagala. They seem to be different in yonin. Right? Tefillah is a kfir, is a custom, has to do with ownership, and not with being molea treif. Kashering is about being molea treif and has nothing to do with ownership. Is there a required order between them? The Gemara's order happens to be you kasher and then toivel it. Is that necessary or not? So here we have a machlokas rishonim between the Rosh and the Rashba. Right? Is the order davka? What if hitbil the acharkach hechshir. Hechshir is not the word used in the Gemara. That means any type of kashering, right? It's used nowadays. It's a very useful word. So, first he brings down the day of the rush. The rush says mutter. Why? Very pasha. Because tvila And Hector are two separate inyanim. Meaning, you have to totally, you have to kashrut. They're two separate inyanim. One based on zirzakasa, one based on li, on the fact that it still has little bits of treif absorbed in it. Who cares what order you do? You have to do two separate things. You can do them in any order you want. Right? There's no, anytime you have two separate mitzvahs to do, you can do them in any order you want. Okay, but the Yeshom Tzarech L'Atzul at Bilan. Yeshom, when the Rashba says, no, the Tzvila is possible. Rashba says, the Tzvila is possible, actually, Tzula, and you have to Tzvila again. What's this for the Rashba? Meaning, if you Tzvila it before you kasher it, you have to Tzvila it again. What's this for the Rashba? So, the phrase he uses, because it's like Tovel v'sheretz b'yado. Right? What does he mean by this? The whole point of Tevilah is to take it out of the tomb of the Akum and give it to Yisrael. Part of the tomb of the Akum is that they're not makan on kosher food, and we are makan on kosher food. So if it still has the treif inside it, then the Tevilah doesn't work. Because it's still, you can't say it's separated from the tomb of the Akum, because it still has the tomb of the Akum within it. That's the finish of the Rashba. That's the big finish. I'm sorry.
Where is this Rashba?
Quoted in the Torah here and in the Torah of Ice. You look in the Torah, the fancy Torahs, I'll tell you exactly
so
what
we're
page
saying is that Tzvila has an Indian kashrus.
That exactly. The finish of the Rashba is that there's a kesher between Tzvila and kashrus, which the Rush denies. The Rush says Tzvila's kelim and kashrus two separate and other. The Rashba says they're mostly two separate yonim, but there's a connection. As long as it's still treif, then it's still connected to the tomb of the goy, and the tefillah won't work. This is a big chiddush, this connection. Right? The chiddush is that there is some connection.
What if a Jew makes a treif?
That's a fascinating question. Like, what if a Jew cooked treif in it, then sold it to a goy, then I bought it from a goy? What would the Rashba say in that case? My intuition is that he would still say it's a problem. Because the Maisa, once it was in the guy's hands and it was treif, so that all becomes one.
Well, let's say a Jew made it, it was Basar Kala, so he told you about the Hana. So he didn't actually eat it, he didn't cook, or I'm saying whatever it is, just for Hana purposes. And then he gave it to another guy. And a Jew, in that case.
No, then you don't have to topple the Bakla.
But it still has treif in it.
No, it doesn't matter. It's not the tomb of the guy. That's the chiddush. I mean, you don't have to tovel a treif kli if you buy it from a non-from Jew, right? You only have to tovel a kli if you buy it from a guy. So you might think that's nothing to do with. You have to tovel a kli if you buy it from a guy with a treif for kosher. You don't have to tovel a kli if you buy it from a Jew with a treif for kosher. So you might think like the Rash tovel, it has nothing to do with whether it's treif or kosher. The Rash, but nonetheless, makes a chiddush of tovel sheretz b'yado, even though the tefillah is not about it being treif. If it is treif, that connects it to the treifness of the goy that it came from, and the total of sheretz b'yado, big chiddush. How do we paskin? We paskin, even though the Pisli Tshuva quotes from the Tshuvas Yerias Ohel, who paskins like the Rashba B'vadai, we don't paskin that way, we paskin like the Shach. The Shach says, in Sefkan Hey, I think it is, he paskins it's a suffix, and therefore what should you do? If you totaled something before you kashered and then kashered it, what should you do? If we pass in suffix, exactly, you should be tovelet without a bracha. That's how we assume. Again, the Pesach Shulah quotes in the Shulah is all tovelet with a bracha. Sure, the Rashba is right, but we don't agree with that. We still agree with the Shach. We don't know who's right. Machlokes Rishonim, Rashi and Rashba, both big names. Therefore, we pass in tovel without a bracha.
Is there ever any leniency to call the Rash?
So there are some cases where some posim are makel. Two cases which are where two possible kulos are, first of all, it's a big kula. The big kula is the Dagon Mervava. The Dagon Mervava here on the side says, L'aniz daiti im einem b'nei yomo mutter. Says, if it's not b'nei yomo, it's mutter. Dagon Mervava. Hikel. Why? Because he says, what's not benyomo? In case that it's no sitam lefgam, and that's not going to make your food treif. So that's not treif anymore. Teina, let's have teina for a moment where goes there to kasher it anyway. But that's just the Gzeira. It really doesn't have Trefinet. That's a big kula of the Dagul Mirvava. Lemaisa, the Chelkas Binyamin here quotes a big machlokas achronim on precisely this issue. Here it is. He quotes that if you want to know the names, the Aruch HaShulchan agree with the Dagul Mirvava, and the Makor Mayim Chaim and the Beis Shlomo disagreed with the Dagul Mirvava, and the Darkei Tshuva quotes many others who disagree with the Dagul Mirvava. And the Darkei Tshuva's maskana is that lechatchila we should not be soich on this, even though b'di'eved there's room to be makel. So the ma'aseh is a machlokes achronim. That's an excellent question. There's two tzvim lahakol zchuchas. Number one, maybe it's not treif. And number two, even the tefillah is only drabbanan anyway. And if it's einu ben yom, you have the dog mirvava. Nearly is like that would make sense to be makel on zchuchas. Maybe it doesn't need to be kashered, and maybe einu ben yom doesn't need to be kashered. And even if it does, the tefillah is only drabbanan anyway, so it's most the suffix drabbanan. That's the psak of the Darkei Tshuva, the shame Achronim. Look there, you'll see if you want to look there, the Achronim that he quotes. Another big issue is
like if somebody said, I made a mistake and did it in the wrong order, you tell them again.
If it's Einu Ben Yomo, it sounds like B'di'eved, there's room to be makel. After all, the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't endorse this, and he's a posek achron, perhaps. That doesn't happen very often anyway. Yes?
There was a time that they were worried that on the metal parts they put something true. Nobody was machmir to kasha them before the tree.
That is an interesting point.
Nobody wants to bring them into the house right. And put them in things until they told them.
Ad hayom hazeh, by the way, there are those who are machmer. They buy any new metal pots, pans, etc. They're machmer that you have to do hagolah. The Eidach HaRedis, they're machmer. You have to do hagolah to all new pots and pans because in manufacturing you always have to use oil. You always use oil in manufacturing, otherwise everything sticks, or not sticks, but rubs and causes friction, etc. And maybe they use oil from animal-based oil, which is more trade source.
Is that true, though?
It's true that maybe they could. Lemaisa, we don't get that far, because all the poskim say that it doesn't actually matter. Because even if they do use oil from a trade source, it's not food-grade oil. It's manufacturing grade oil, and they process it so that it's completely inedible by the time they use it. Right? There's not like a gelatin shiloh or something that's meant for an ingredient for food, etc. This is, you ever try eating WD-40? You could start out with lard and turn it into WD-40, but it still wouldn't be trafe, because now it's WD-40. So Lamaisa, that's not the real din. But there you can find those. Or macaron.
I imagine that probably economically they use cheap vegetable oil for that anyway. I don't know.
People in industry now say that anything can be made from anything because with international commerce now, with internet commerce, so you can just buy something from any factory in China that happened to have a cheap price for this shipment, etc. They have the quantity you need, people don't have fixed suppliers the way they once did. And you never know. One place, someone got cheap of this, and someone got cheap of that, etc., and they manufacture out of it. So that's why it's harder to tell. That's why some people say, agav. It's an interesting... I'm not enough. But everyone knows that in the old days, when my grandparents grew up, even when my parents grew up when they were younger, how do you keep kosher? You would look in the supermarket ingredients, and if the ingredients look kosher, then you ate it. If the ingredients look trash, you didn't eat it. Nowadays, no one would ever do such thing, right? We look for a hechsher on the product. Or if you live in anti-Semitic countries, you have a little app which tells you which products, or a book in the old days, which tells you which products have a hechsher because you're afraid to put it on the product. Because you live in the you know, Islamic Republic of England. but so why are we different than our grandparents? So some people say, because you know, we've become very machmer over the years, and we've turned very right wing, shift to the right, as they say. People I know in the kashrus industry claim that it's not that we have shifted to the right; it's that the world changed, the technology and the economy changed. Once upon a time, if you looked at something, had ingredients, they made things the old-fashioned way. Well, I don't mean 1200; I mean even 1950. Even 1960, they made things the old-fashioned way. If you looked at an ingredient, you could tell 99% certainty where it came from, because the ingredients were poshut ingredients, and they came from natural things, more or less, or even if they were synthetic, there was one way to make them, and therefore you could 99% likely tell whether something's kosher or safe in the ingredients. The problem is nowadays, anything, our manufacturers are so good, anything can be made out of everything. Something has a starch, the starch comes from anything. Something has a sweetener. Something sweet is a sweetener, like glycerin. It could come from anything. You can make it out of anything. I mean, anything that's carbon-based, right? So, since nowadays, it's with manufacturing, you make all different, you know, things are made out of all kinds of very artificial ingredients, which could be made out of any organic material, some of them. And what they do is they get it from China in big vats from whoever's selling the cheapest at the moment. So, therefore, it's very hard to tell. It's not just that we're shifted to the right. It's very hard to tell nowadays by reading the ingredients of something's kosher or treif. I'm not talking about something says, you know, the ingredients are, you know, you buy a dozen eggs, the ingredients are eggs, okay? And there's something they still make old-fashioned, right? Like in America, people buy beer without a hashgacha. Because in beer, it's makobel in the industry that you have to make it the old-fashioned way. People buy whiskey without a hashgacha. Because it's makobel, you have to make it the old-fashioned way. People buy coffee without a hashgacha and tea without a hashgacha. Because it's known those are made the old-fashioned way. But most things nowadays, you read the ingredients, and, you know, it has 100 different words, and 50 of them are so long even the Rav didn't use them. And go figure where they really come from. And that's why things are very complicated nowadays to know where things come from. So it's very, very not possible.
Any one of these products that has an extra on it, every time they want to buy those big vats, they have to check with the Mashgiach and say, is this approved?
Yes.
That's basically what they do?
But the Mashgiach is more organized than that. There are suppliers in China that have the hashgacha, and they have to use those suppliers.
Okay.
You know, and if that means that they have to pay a penny more per ton, or even a dollar more per ton than the other guy, they're willing to absorb that cost. But if not, they wouldn't pay an extra dollar per ton. Okay, right.
Because I thought everybody would read the beginning of the Bataz Kashrus book. Of course, it's a lot of advertising, but there they tell you exactly what the problems are in the industry today. It's fascinating.
Okay. Excellent. Can you turn that off for a second? Can you pause? Now, another kula here is found in the shach. sorry. That's the Pesach Chuva deal with in September Dalit. The shach, right? The shach says, what if you buy a kli that is treif, but you want to use it just for kol? So you rinse it off well. I buy a treif mug that they drink soup in. I just want to drink Coke out of it. I like cold drinks. I want to drink Coke out of it. I like a big mug for my beer or my Coke. Right? So it's treif, but it doesn't bother me because I'm only using it for cold. So could I tumble or not? Like, do we look objectively that it's treif? Or subjectively, for the way I want to use it, it's not treif. So the shop here has a kula. He says, and in the Pesach Tshuva, Sukkot and Dalid, he quotes that the Tiferes L'Moshe was machmer in this. So this is a machlok zachronim. It's not an everyday occurrence, but if I buy a mug and I only want a glass mug, and I only want to use it cold, so for my use it's kosher, but objectively it's treif. So is it okay if I tovel it and use it? Shas says yes.
Why is it objective to
chicken? Because it was bole, a hot soup. They put hot chicken soup in it. Right, it was used for hot. They drank chicken soup out of it and all kinds of other, for who knows what, the oyster stew. They drank out of it for all I know. And I just want to drink a nice cold beer, so the shach says that's okay, but not all achronim agree. And therefore, certainly, lechachil would better be machver.
Isn't there a shach somewhere else that said it's only buff and hot padding?
There is, and as a matter of fact, it's even. Yeah, so this would only be. You'd have to make the kimt in the shach that. You'd have to make the kimt in the shach that you want to use the bar rai, which then makes the shach more of a chish.
Correct. The chiluk afterwards, he's saying.
Correct, that makes the shach more of a chish. I agree, but. I agree. Okay. The Lemaisa, let's move on a little more. By the way, some of the other issues that came up here I might point out is before we get to that. Okay, good. The Now we're leaving the nexus of tefillah and kashering and just going to kashering. So first we discuss different kinds of kelim. What different kinds of kelim do we mention? Mateches, eitz, and eben. Okay? Mateches and eitz are mentioned in the Gemara, in Shas. How to kashra kli mateches is mefurish in Shas, the end of the Sefer Avodah Zarah. How to kashra kli eitz is mefurish in Shas, I mean, mateches of Shnais and Avodah Zarah, and Gemara is there. How to kashra kli eitz is mefurish in Shas in the second paragraph of Pesachim. Kli Eved is not mefurish anywhere in Shas, and that is a big machlokas achronim, which is worth mentioning now. Kli Eved is a big machlokas achronim. There are two mainstream deyas and one less mainstream deya. The two mainstream deyas are brought in the Torah. Rav Haigon says it can't be kashered. Can't be kashered like Paris. The Rif and most Rishonim said it can be kashered. And the Shiltig Borim in the name of the Reis and Ponti. The recent Ponti, by the way, it's a town in Italy. I don't know how to pronounce it in Italian. He's one of the earliest Ashkenazic Rishonim, or one of the earlier, at least, Ashkenazic Rishonim, the recent Ponti. He is, you all know the recent Ponti. In the Mishnayis and the Vilna Shas, who gets the Rabbeinu Chananel slot? Open the Vilna Shas, the Mishnayis. Who's in the small block print in the inside margin? Here, open up to Arla. Here we go. The Rambam, the Rosh Kishans, in the middle here. Here's Ma'ariv and Malki Tzedek. That's the recent Bunti. The recent Bunti is the Reb Malki Tzedek, who is in the Vilna Shas, in the small print in the margin of Zerayim. What?
Were you contemporary?
Was he? No. He was a little later. But he was before the Bali Tosos. So he says, doesn't need to be kashered.
Like glass?
Like glass. Although, now, what are the basis of the machlokas? This is going to be somewhat important. What are the basis of the machlokas? The basis of the machlokas is doesn't seem to be based on chemistry. I don't think they did chemical analyses. I think the basis of the machlokas is exegetical. Meaning, how to interpret the shas. In Shas, it told us two things. That kelim made of metal and wood are kashered, and the kelim made of cheres cannot be kashered. So what about everything else? What about anything not mentioned in Shas? What's the rule of anything not mentioned in Shas? And don't give me glass here, because glass is mentioned in Tosafta, or in almost really nothing, actually. What's the rule of anything not mentioned in Shas? So, Rav Haigon says, anything not mentioned in Shas, we don't know. If we don't know, we're choshish. It's like cheres. Maybe it's very. If we don't have any dose of shas, then min hastam, we're choshish. It might be like cheres. It might be very porous. And the truth is, kli evin is very porous. It's more porous than wood, and it's more porous than metal.
Doesn't that attitude knock out everything we learned at the beginning of the year with Kulan Lamedalev? Because if you say that what's in the shas, that's what it is, so we don't have to, we can't make the decode, we can't do anything, that's the mashiach.
At least with achila, maybe, but it doesn't matter, we don't possibly remember. So, what's the svara? I don't mean the svara in chemistry, I mean the svara in perush. Is that, if it's not mefurish, it might be like cheres. Meaning, there are things that can't be kashered. This might be it. And if you ask a scientist, I think they'll tell you stone is, again, most people don't realize how porous stone is, because it's very hard. I know it's very hard. You don't want it falling on your head. That has nothing to do with how porous it is. It's going to be hard and porous, or soft and not porous. Stone is very porous.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by stone is very porous, I mean this. Don't actually do this, but take oil from your kitchen. Canola oil, olive oil, whatever you have in your kitchen. Go outside to where you have, like, stones outside in the, like, sometimes outside your house on the pavement, whatever, your stairs, whatever. Just pour it on the stone. Try to ever clean it. Or, no, try to clean it for less than 1,000 shekel. Obviously, you can get guys with special things that they invented. It's impossible. It'll never come out in a gazillion years. Stone is very porous. Buy a pizza stone. You ever bought a pizza stone? Some people bake pizza on a stone. Read the instructions. Anyone ever read the instructions? What do the pizza stone's instructions say? It says, minimize washing with soap because it may affect the taste of your pizza. Did you ever see that instructions of anything else? No, stone is exceedingly porous. Not as porous as cheres, but it's much more porous than wood and metal. So the Rav Haigon says, it's more porous than wood and metal, where choshish is cheres. He says the same thing about clay gwalim and clay adoma. Right? Clay evin, it's the same machlokas, just not so common, as clay gwalim and clay adoma.
But why would it
be? He says they're all more porous.
But why wouldn't it should be able to be kosher, though.
What? No, because cheres is so porous it can't be kosher. This also can't be kosher. Says the riff.
I thought they chashash with cheres that it just breaks if you try to
kosher. No, that's leaving. I'm talking about hagol. Can't be koshered via hagol. That's right. Okay, we'll get that. What's his svara? His svara is it's a special edus of the Torah. Menachem, what was the Torah made? The Torah was made something. What was the Torah made? HaTorah Heida Al Kli Cheres Sheniyot Midof Yolyom. Torah's made, a Kli Cheres can't be kashered. The Torah's made, the Torah's made. If the Torah wasn't made, it wasn't made. Special edus of the Torah on Kli Cheres. Anything else can be kashered. Okay, those are the two mainstream opinions. What do you do with Kli Evin? The Rav Haigon says, if it's not in Shas, we're Choshish L'Chumra. And the Rif and Rov Rishonim say no. If it's not in Shas, then there's no Edus of the Torah. If there's no Edus of the Torah, you can kasher it. Only thing the Torah was made can't be kashered. And the Torah was only made on Kli Cheres. Okay, the recent Ponki is a less mainstream Shita. I just think it's a fascinating one. His svara is obviously very difficult because midvarishach, either it's like cheres or it's like wood and metal, meaning it's more porous than wood and metal, and less porous than cheres. So it's got to be like one of them, right? So it doesn't make any sense. Alpi science, l'chora the svara of the Kisiponti is that all of Hepcher Kalim is only a Zeres HaKasub, so it only applies to Kalim mentioned in the Torah. Only applies to Kalim mentioned in the Torah. It's all exerts of Gossam. Only Kalim mentioned in the Torah. The Torah says Kli Cheres is also forever, so Cheres is also forever. The Torah says you have Matasher Kalim of metal, and says that in the context of Dine Toma Vatara and in other places of Toma Vatara, it also mentioned wooden Kalim and bone Kalim. So you have the Kasher, metal and wooden and bone Kalim. But whatever type of Kli is not mentioned anywhere in the Torah, like the Kli Evan is not mentioned in the Torah. I know it's mentioned in the context of penalty for murder, but not in a context of Kashrus or even Tumah Vatara. Whatever's not mentioned in the Torah doesn't apply to this of the Ishitus Yachud, the recent Ponti, that Hetzer Kalim is not a Metzius, but it's a Xeris Akasav. We don't assume that way. What do we say back to the recent Ponti? We say, no, Hetzer Kalim is like a Svara. Whatever has a taste of treif in it, you can't use it. That's a taste of treif in it. That only exists
a
kasef.
In Abinyomo, you don't say the midorites of the natural kale.
Right. So what do we say about Rapai going to the Rift? So Lamaisa, why did I bring up a recent ponte? I'll tell you why I bring up a recent ponte. Because we don't have time to get into Lumdus now, based on the way the calendar works out. But there's a very, very, very important hakira when it comes to Hechsher Talim. And the very important chakira when it comes to Hechsher Kalim is there are two main opinions. There's the mainstream opinion and a more minority opinion, right? There's the opinion of most achronim and the opinion of the Or Sameach and the Rav is that most achronim assume Hechsher Kalim is a Metzius. It's a Metzius. Meaning, there is treif taste. You have to remove the treif taste because you don't want treif taste mixing into your kosher taste, right? You kosher because otherwise treif tam would go into your food.
So if you hold by that, then that the argument that, you know, stainless steel kalim maybe don't need to be kosher or things like that is stronger, right?
Correct. The according to the Rav, no, it is a, and the Or Sameach also says this, it's a gzeiras akasav. Right, the Rav wasn't the first, he didn't quote the Or Sameach, but it's there. It's a gzeiras akasav. What's the gzeiras akasav? Really, the taste in kalim is not actual food. It's not a piece of food. It wouldn't make anything treif. Really, there's no tam ke'ikr for taste in kalim. After all, what does one day in the Gemara severe tam ke'ikr say? Can we learn tam ke'ikr from Hechsher Kalim? The Gemara says, no, Hechsher Kalim is a chiddush. That's its own. It's not regular tam ke'ikr. Really, that tam would not be a problem. It's just like gzeiras akasav, you have to kasher kalim. And once the gzeiras akasav, you have to kasher kalim, now the tam is a problem. So, what we mean is, if not for the gzeiras akasav, tam in a kli would not count as tam ke'ikr, but gzeiras akasav to kasher kalim. The nafgamina, I mean, we'll see a couple of I'm not going to mention all the nafgaminas. We'll keep our eyes out for nafgaminas. One nafgamina we mention now is, right, Kli Evin, if it's a matter of Metzias, then you're either Rav Haigon or the Rif. You could say, Metzias, where Hoshish is super duper porous and can't be cleaned. Or you can say, no, Bemtzias, only Cheres is an Eidos. Everything else, Bemtzias can be cleaned. But you don't have to. You could say, like, the recent Ponti. Right? It's possible to say, like, the recent Ponti. Right? If it's a Xeris Akasov, if it's a Xeris HaKosov, you could say it's a Xeris HaKosov, whatever's Makabal Toma, whatever's mentioned in the Torah in these contexts. Whatever's not Makabal Toma, like Kli Evin and Kli Adam and Kli Gulalim, he says before, it's Kli Adam, Kli Gulalim, Kli Evin, even though we all know Kli Adam is very porous. It's just unforged pottery. And we all know Kli Evin is very porous. Don't need to be captured at all. Oh, they have taste. You'll get trace paste into your food. It doesn't matter. If there's no Xeris Augustum, the taste doesn't count. It's only Xeris Augustum to worry about the taste in Caitlin. Tom Kicker means taste of food itself. Taste of camels only peak Xeris Augustum. Okay, we'll see other potential nafkinas. Now, of course, we reject the Reese and Ponti. But that's not necessarily Machria the Chakira. You could say reject the Reese and Ponti because it's a pure matter of Metzias and not Xeris Augustum. Or you could say it's Xeris Augustum. But the Xeris Augustum is using the first rule of, second rule of biblical exegesis. We say that Xeris Augustum mentioned one example, but it's a binyan av, and it applies to all kalim. Okay, we'll see more nafkinas ben sheikh.
There's no difference.
What?
There's no difference.
No, I'm just setting myself up to tell you another difference. Okay, I'll mention another difference later. I'll mention another difference
now. You said just now, there's no difference between the math and the
Ah, okay. The other difference might be, and this is going to be a big issue, and Mr. Brewer will not see it this way, might be an issue that we'll come up to. Very fascinating. This is the way Rav understood. And it's not the way the Mishnah Berurah likes, but it's much sharper. He says, here's a great question. How do we apply Kabbalah Kach Polto? Right? Kol Devar She'yavo Va'esh Shavir Va'esh Daher. V'esh Ashele Va'esh Shavir Va'mayim. How about the following case? What if I used a kli to cook in hot water 12 times? And then I used it to barbecue once. What about that case? What if I only use it to barbecue? So then it would only need Hagala, not Liban, right? What if I only use it to barbecue once? Would it need Hagala or Liban?
A new kli
only used it to barbecue pork once. Hold on. So if you use it 12 times to cook pork and once to barbecue pork, it needs Hagala because you go by the main shemush. But if you use it only once to barbecue pork, it needs Liban. So how does that make sense? Either way, you use it once to barbecue pork.
It doesn't matter, because that's the pshat in the halacha. That's the din. You go according to the Ikashimu.
So this is a famous machlokas rishonim, whether you go by Rov Tashmisha or not. The Rav says, what's the yisod of this machlokas rishonim? He says, but it doesn't make sense. What do you mean that's the ikar din? Let's review. Right? I'm mentioning something we haven't read yet, but we all know because we've been Jewish a couple of years. If you use it in cooking in hot water, you need Hagala. If you use it in roasting, barbecuing, baking, on dry heat, you need Liban. So again, I have a knife, let's say. I use it to stir a pot of pork soup 12 times, and then I spear a ham and I barbecue on it once. That Hagala is good enough for it. But if I only use it, take a second knife and only use it to barbecue once, I need Liban. Why? The first one has more trait than the second one. How does that make sense? Should we go by Rov Tashmisha or should we go by the most chomer, the deepest, the strongest shimush? So the Rav wanted to say that, said the Rav, although we see the Mishnah Berurah says otherwise, the Rav says, if the matter of Metzios, anything used once for barbecuing, got a very, very strong glia and should need Liban, right? You should have the kasher.
Can you trust the guy to tell you what
he
used it for?
No, but that's a separate problem. That's a separate issue. Kasher in accordance with the strongest trait use. Even better. I'll give you a better case, right? Let's say I have a much better case. Ready for this better case? The guy has a knife. He used it guy to guy named Reuven and Shimon. Right? Okay, fine. Reuven and Shimon. Fine. Reuven has a knife. He used it 12 times to smear cold lard on his bread to make lard sandwiches in the old days before they were health conscious. And once to barbecue a ham. He stuck it into a ham and held it over a campfire to barbecue. So that knife, we'd say, well, Rov Tashmisha wasn't cold, so just wash it up in cold water. Then Shimon has a knife. He only used once. He speared a ham and barbecued it on a campfire. We say, that knife needs Liban, right? You have to put a blowtorch to it. Really? How does that make sense? Both knives are used to barbecue. You should need to blowtorch both of them. If it's a matter of Tzias, you should need to blowtorch both of them. This is the opinion of the Ramah, although only Lechachiba. It's also Rishonim. Now, here, you should go by Rov Tashmisha. If there's a Kasov, then, says Machaber, you should go by Rov. If it's Xeris Augustum, then it doesn't matter how strongly it absorbed. It's Xeris Augustum. What's Xeris Augustum? However you define the kli, that's a yukasheri. You define a kli by rov. It was used most like to spread schmaltz on a sandwich. It's defined as a kli used for cold. So you kasher by rinsing with cold water. I don't care how much taste it actually has. If it was used once for barbecuing, it was used most of the time for barbecuing, you have to take a blowtorch to it. Right? So, and the truth is even the Ramah agrees with me. The Rav says, what did the Rav want to say? The Rav wants to say, since really we pass like the Ramah, because even the Mechaber, as we'll see, therefore we follow Rav Tashmisho, that proves that it's not a Metzias, it's a Xeris Akasa, because we follow Rav Tashmisho. Okay, we'll see how the Mishnah Berurah tried to get out of that.
According to what the Rav said, he said, Xeris HaKasas, they have to worry about time. But I understand the difference. What I mean is this.
I will clarify. Xeris HaKasas with the Kasher and Kalim, and if you didn't Kasher it, I'll be then. The tam is usher. That's the difference. According to Xeris HaKasav, it's not that the tam is always usher. If you didn't kasher it, the tam becomes usher. If you did kasher it, the tam is mutter. Or if you were potter from kashering it, the tam is mutter. Therefore, if I have this knife, I use it 12 times to spread cold schmaltz, and once to barbecue a ham. We say at the halacha, it's called a cold kli. You just rinse it in cold water. The bottle. And that's kosher. All more than the taste. I kashered it the way the Torah told me to kasher it. The taste is mutter. It's only usher if I violated the laws of kasher. That's why there really is a difference between the two shatim. And that's why, since we'll see this, machlokes mechaber and Ramah, but everyone really passed like the mechaber ikra din. The Rav says we see from here that the real shat is xeris hakasav, not metzias.
Would
xeris
hakasav mean of that person or of society?
No, we mean of this. We mean of this particular kli.
Of that person, Rav says we show.
I mean, if the kli was owned by five people, we have to add the other all five of the people.
Yeah,
of this particular knife, not of knives in general. Of this knife. Obviously, for practical purposes, we're going to have to go by knives in general, because we don't necessarily know how this knife was used. Unless we do. You know, if this knife was used in a certain household where they only eat certain things, we might know. But you're right. We'll generally have to go by rogue people, because it's less rare, because the guy's not nearby. Okay.
Well,
now,
could you? Are there any like leniencies that come out? Like you want to buy this kli from the boy, you could say to him, "Well, I know I just saw you barbecuing with it. Do you think you could use it a bunch of times for this and then sell it to me?"
I'm not sure, but lemaisa wouldn't be practical. If you barbecue with once, he'd probably barbecue it with it many times.
Maybe it was new.
Okay. Lemaisa, that doesn't sound right to me, but it might be true nonetheless.
If a kosher knife owned by a Jew was used for cooking, and then when it was used by mistake for treif, it was grilled, so then if you go by rov tashmisho, and you only need...
Meaning, do you go by the rov tashmisho of kosher, of treif, or the rov tashmisho overall, you're asking? Mm-hmm. Rov treif shimush, or rov overall shimush? That is a great question, and I'm not sure.
If you go,
it's probably for somewhere.
If it goes by the trif, then it comes out even more absurd inside the Metzias.
Okay.
Like the only time that was used for trif, then you still you don't have to do that.
Correct. Okay. Anyway, this is a very important chakira. The truth is, we had time for more lumdas. We could find many things to tie in, but we'll leave it at this for now, and then we'll see how the Mishnah Berurah tries to deny the Rav's proof. Now, let's go back to some Pirkei Pratim. Anyway, and that's why that recent Pondi is so fascinating, because he clearly is not looking at for a second Metzias, but only of Xeris HaKasav. And by the way, don't actually try that experiment with the oil, because I have tried it accidentally, and it's not cleanable. If you like Hanukkah ales outside, you spill a little olive oil on your stone steps, and so, emelasot. But it's okay, because stain for a mitzvah is actually right, that's what they say. They say from one of the Achronim that it's kavod Shabbos to have a stain on your suit because you didn't want to be a chal Shabbos to clean it on Shabbos. That is kavod Shabbos. Okay, so here also. But another very important issue comes up here in the Pesachim Chuzah Katan Beis about something called Geschmelz. Geschmelz is actually enamel. The word geschmelz is what we call enamel. We still have enamel nowadays.
It sounds better than
geschmelz is enamel. It's actually, fascinatingly, I'm not a linguist, but the word enamel actually comes from geschmelz. The mem lamed is like what got into enamel. So I'm not sure exactly how, but at least Wikipedia holds that enamel came from geschmelz. You know what enamel is? It's like metal pots. I mean, it could be metal anything, but nowadays, you know, pots that are coated with a thin layer of enamel, of some special non-porous substance that keeps it cleaner and makes it pretty. So the original, you know, keeps it clean and pretty. So they nowadays, I have some enamel pots up these pans in my house. But I'm not talking about Teflon. Teflon is to make a frying pan non-stick. Right. That's different. I'm talking, I'm talking enamel, like, it doesn't look like metal. It looks like it was painted or something, but it's not paint, because paint would wear off and would break down in sunlight and with heat, etc. It's something called enamel, where enamel is really a kind of glass. It's a kind of glass, enamel. So the big discussion, what's fascinating, this Chassam Sofer, is he says, says the Chesron Yidia L'chol HaOlam. The Sabi Chesron Yidia, remember we had a discussion, for everyone. No one knows what enamel is made of, the Chassam Sofer says. Why? Because if you make the enamel, wouldn't tell anyone. Not they're bad people. I also wouldn't tell them. There are no patents. if they were, they weren't so enforceable like nowadays. Of course they wouldn't tell anyone. They would also make enamel. They want to make money selling enamel. Like,
because of the shop.
What?
He's saying it because of the shop. But it's a chesed. It's not a chesed.
Yeah, so it's a chesed to deal with Chol HaOlam, what the enamel is made of, and they don't know. Maybe it's cheres. So therefore, you have a whole discussion of this. Limaisa, we'll see the Mishnah Brura in Sivkat and Tofnon Aleph, quotes in the Achronim, to be makel by enamel for non-Pesach use, to be makel to kasher enamel for non-Pesach use, it savoreth the fact that it seems to be that, you know, it savoreth the fact that it seems to be non-porous, and it's also very, very thin. So, what halacha am I referring to? Who cares that it's very thin? Who cares that it's very thin? No, that we're in kashrus. Klisha tashmisha b'sef. Shevrim, the Machaber said, if there's always going to be 60 times as much of the tray, then it's mutter. So here, there's always 60 times as much of the enamel. It's only very thin coating. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says from the Achronim that they're makel, that you wait 24 hours and you can kashrur an enamel pot, because maybe the material, the enamel, is a kashrable material, and even if it's not a kashrable material, so it's there's always going to be 60 times as much of the enamel, and you'll be okay. So therefore, there is room to be makel, not for Pesach, because for Pesach, 60 times doesn't help. It's not Pasu. But for all year long, the Mishnah Berurah in, I think it's Tufan Aleph Kuf Lamed Zayin, in the end, is makel by enamel, that you can kashrur it all year long.
And now we probably know what it's made of.
Yes, now we know it's a kind of glass. although we'll get into Machlokas what to do with glass. Okay.
Well, does that mean that you would consider it to be like glass plate?
Yeah, actually, for Sephardim, could be more makel and enamel, correct, because they're makel across the board in glass. So it's not a typical glass, but it's basically, scientifically, it's a glass. One other thing I wanted to mention briefly is plastic. We just read. Who do we passing like? Rav Haigo and the Rif with Shildi Barim. Who do we passing like? We read the Machaber. What?
The Rif.
We passing it can be kashid, right? What does he say? He says, Matech Zobay to Emin, Kli Emin, you kashid. Right? We passing like the Rif about Stone Kalem. That's why you have to agree with that. It's possible to say the recent Ponti. You don't have to. It's just possible. But you don't have to. Right? Could say it's Xeris and Custom. Xeris and Custom for the principal opinion applies to all of them. Okay. Now, according to this, what would you say about plastic? Classics for sure not in Chumash, for sure not in Shas, right? They have a valid excuse. It didn't exist. So, what would you say about plastic? Is it bole? Is it not? Is it bole you can kosher it? Is it bole you can't kosher it? What would you think to say about plastic?
What's
the menseus? The menseus is bole. I don't know, more or less, whatever. You know, bole within a range. What would you think? You'd think that the principle of the riff is that whenever there's no Aegis and Shas is in the category, in the middle category, that it's Bolein, you can kosher it. Because the Torah wasn't made about plastic that you can't kosher it. And L'chor, it is porous. I mean, L'chor, it is porous. And the Torah wasn't made that you can't kosher it. So, what about plastic? The vast majority of the posts can say, based on the riff, that it's like Kli Evin. Whatever, there's no Aegis and Shas, gets treif and can be koshered. And then when they first made plastic, the Minchas Yitzchak says, but the plastic can't withstand boiling water and therefore you can't kosher it. But of course, he's talking about the old plastic, our modern day plastic. I mean, it depends what. If it's flimsy Tupperware or something. I'm saying, I'm talking about Ziploc bag. Obviously, our modern-day plastic can withstand boiling water. They make soup ladles to stir boiling soup out of plastic, right? We make very hard plastic kaolin nowadays. right, if it's dishwasher safe, it can withstand boiling water. So the Minchas Yitzchak in the old days says, well, maybe there's a technical problem with plastic because it can't withstand boiling water, so how can you do agdola? That doesn't apply to our plastic. Well, any plastic that's worth koshering can withstand, it's worth an effort to kosher and withstand boiling water. However, if there is a...
Plastic is not something that is found. Plastic comes from something else.
Aha. So, therefore, there is a somewhat of a das yachid. I don't know if it's a das yachid, but, you know, you never want to say das yachid. So I'm sure with all the posts we have available nowadays, you can find them a dozen.
Doesn't plastic come from oil?
Plastic does come from oil, yes.
We have to think about oil.
Okay, but I don't know how much that's going to help us. What's oil? I mean, so says Rav Moshe, he says an interesting finish. He says that the riff only applies to that existed in the old days. What's the riff svara? The Torah was made and the cheres can't be koshered, so everything else can. So Robles can say everything else can be koshered. But Moshe says, no, maybe it's only of the materials that existed. Cheres can't be koshered, but everything else can. But materials that would be invented later, how can it make any diukim? And therefore it's a suffix. But plastic might be like cheres. That's what Moshe says. He says even the riff was only made on things that existed. But things that didn't exist, have you made diuk? If you have no diuk, it's a suffix. Suffix might be like keres or machmer. So therefore, Moshe and a small minority of poskim say you can't kosher plastic. And the majority of poskim say you can kosher plastic. Now,
who says you can kosher plastic? Who? I've never heard of anybody koshering plastic.
So... The Badatzim in Eretz Yisrael do not let you kosher plastic. I'll just mention one or two.
In America, my time, nobody argued on the right most of the fact that you can't kosher plastic.
Okay. In Eretz Yisrael, okay, the Mahadran Hashirim do not kosher plastic. Some places in the army said that they kosher plastic. The Chelkas Yaakov said you can kosher plastic. The Michas Yitzchak said you can kosher plastic if it would withstand boiling water. But I'm sure that there's many other poskim.
Which rabbi would you say?
I don't want to make assumptions. Do I have a rabbi on this? I don't have a rabbi on this. Okay, we can look. You can look it up. Anyway, Lamaisa. Nowadays there are different minhagim. There are those who I know in the army, they kosher plastic and they kosher for Pesach and they rely on Rav Poskim. In America, obviously due to the influence of Rav Moshe, we do not kosher plastic. However, many Talmidim Rav Moshe say that he didn't write anything.
right, what Ramosha wrote when he discussed plastic is, where was the Ramosha? Here it is. He says very little. Okay, so, and I don't have full text here, but many Talmidim Ramosha say he only meant to be machmer plastic for Pesach, the chomer de Pesach. He didn't mean to be machmer all year long. And therefore, ad hayom hazeh, there are three minhagim. There are those who take Ramosha all the way and say you can't kosher plastic. There are those who go by growth post and say you can kosher plastic. And there are those who make up pshara. They say, we understood with the Talmidim that maybe only on Pesach were Moshe meant to be machver, to the chumer de Pesach. But with that, on all year long, he did not mean to be machver. And therefore, what I learned from my rebbeim is that on Pesach, you certainly cannot kosher plastic. But for regular kashers all year long, you can kosher plastic.
Will this have a microwave?
A big controversy. I don't know what that the, is a microwave plastic on the inside? I'm not sure what a microwave is made of on the inside.
Is it usually plastic?
Could be, so that would be part of the issue. But Lemaisa, okay, what I learned from my rebbeim, and my opinion, is that you can kosher plastic all year long, just not for Pesach. But those who are makel, even for Pesach, certainly a rov post going to rely on, and those who are machmer all year long have rov minhag olam to rely on. So rov minhag olam to be machmer across the board in plastic. Some are makel across the board in plastic, and perhaps the proper psak is to be machmer in Pesach because of chumer to Pesach and makel all year long.
Just two questions. Firstly, according to those who take rov Moshe all the way, couldn't this svara also fit within the Shulchan Gibborim? Because what we're saying is that there's two categories, and one of them, there's a custom for one of them, there's not a custom for the other.
No, it's just, no serious custom for plastic, it shouldn't be much of that custom in there.
But it's exactly
and no one possibly that.
It's likely Harris.
No. No, I don't think you do that. You'd have to. I hear the Taina, but okay, we can discuss
it. Another question is that, really, this answer seems like
yes, correct. It's a pshara between the riff and Rav Haigon. It's saying the riff is right about things that existed in the old days, and Rav Haigon's right about things that didn't exist in the old days.
Right.
That's exactly what this svara is saying. Okay, if you want, you could look in the, like, there are summary books. Like, you could probably look in the Piskei Tshuvos and Tefillin Aleph, or you could look probably here in the Chalkas Binyanim. I'm sure he must have something about it. I just don't want to look because I'm not sure where it would be.
Do we have any precedent to believe that plastic is more like Kli Evin?
You mean what the scientists tell you? I don't think the scientists would say it's more porous than Kli Evin. But that doesn't prove anything.
Any precedent?
I don't know.
There's different types of plastics also.
Okay.
I mean, are there very hard ones that are not porous?
Not sure. Someone could look into that if they so desired. Okay, so I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to look for it now. I'm sure here also you must have a list of people. We're not going to list Caleb Buck. You can look under plastic and find all the posts and someone come up with the list. Let's at least try to read a few more lines. The Ramah says, Din Kli Etzem, Ayin Gav Fesim Tafin Alf. Okay, Kli Etzem, which is things made out of bone in those days, like ivory, right? We'll get to later. Basically, the problem with ivory is that everyone agrees that the etzem, it can be kasher through hagala. The problem is it doesn't withstand boiling water. It's very delicate, so that creates a problem, which we'll see later. Ein lahagol shom kli kos matcha ben yomo says the Ramah is really the subject of some tough and base. You should never kasher a kli that's ben yomo. That's the normal psak that we assume. You should never kasher a kli that's ben yomo. You should always wait 24 hours before kasher kelim. That's like ABCs of kasher. Before you kasher a kli, or rather before you do hagola to a kli, wait 24 hours. Why? We'll get to in a second. sorry. Why?
Shouldn't be ole again.
Because what's the problem with kashering a kli? We have a masorah of kashering a kli, right? The Torah says kashering a kli works. So what do we have? Here we have the coach. Oh, that was a bad choice of colors. Here we have a kosher kli. And here we have the treif kli. And of course, we're putting it in the mayim.
What's the problem? We have a Masorah. The Haggadah gets all the time out of the Kli. What's the problem? Haggadah gets all the time out of the Kli. Now the water is treif. What do you mean? If you put a treif spoon in your soup, the soup becomes treif, right? If you put a treif spoon in water, the water is treif. So you put the treif Kli in the water, now the water is treif. Now the water goes back and makes the Kli treif. Not only that, it makes the outside pot treif also. You start with one treif Kli, you end with two treif Kalim. How does that work? How does that all work? Doesn't it just go back and make a treif? Okay, good point. So, excellent point. So, says the Ramah, how do you avoid this problem? Easy. Always wait 24 hours before koshering it. Then the tam will go into the water, be nosin tam lefgam, and not make the water treif. So now everything will be kosher. All the tam will leave the red pot, the treif kli, go into the water, disappear in the water, nosin tam lefgam, and now live happily ever after. So that's the best eitzah, is to always wait 24 hours before kashering. Says, however, the Taz and the Nekudas Kesef on the side agrees. He says, that's not true, you always have to wait 24 hours. You have to wait 24 hours before kashering a big pot. But if you just want to kasher a spoon and a small thing, then that's fine. Just make sure you have 60 times as much water. The time will go to the water, be bought the mashisha, and that's just as good. So, So the Taz says, why do you have to wait to Zayin Benyamin? There's another solution. Just make sure that it's less than a 60th of the water. And no big deal. And the Taz and the Nekudas HaKesef agrees. However, not everyone agrees to this solution. The Mishnah Brura in Tuf Nun Beis, Sif Katan Chaf, says, even if there's Shishim, it's a Gzeira. He quotes here from some of the later Achronim. He quotes from the later Achronim that no, they interpret the Ramah Davka. They say, what is it? Let me review you. The Taz says, why need to wait 24 hours? Just have shisha. And the Kuzgez says, well, Kashmir, the Pashtu. Yeah, obviously it's good enough to have shisha. But then Mr. Burris says, no, in terms of Radafi, you don't have to wait 24 hours. Why? Because waiting 24 hours is a very, very simple thing. Always wait 24 hours with Zen. To make sure the water is 60 times the Kli, then you have to start measuring, and sometimes it will be, sometimes it won't be, and you get confused. It's easier to get confused whether the water is less than a 60th, the Kli is more than a 60th of the water, less than 60th of the water. Therefore, as a Gzeira, says the Mishnah Brura, you should always wait 24 hours before kashering, because then there's no possibility of confusion. Like, there's nothing complicated, you don't have to measure, you don't have to think about the difference in one case and another case, always wait 24 hours. So, halacha l'maisa, do you take a picture of this, Aaron?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Is that my picture?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the famous question. We'll see more answers. The Taz here, I'm not getting into it yet, at the end of Sivkutin Bayes deals with this, but how to prevent Mayim from becoming Usser, right? So if the water is Usser, then they'll make the Kli Usser, even make the Kashrin pot Usser. So, one solution is Eino Ben Yomo, just wait 24 hours. The more controversial solution is shisha. So the Taz,
why is it more controversial?
Says that works. Yeah, as long as the water is 60 times the clear kosher, and you're fine. However, says the Mishnah Brura, based on Achronim, no, shishim is not a good solution. Why not? Never heard a bit of a shishim? So he says, because you could be confused, and it's hard to keep track of the measure and know the difference between when there's more than shishim and less than shishim. He says it's no good because you might get confused. And waiting 24 hours is simpler and avoids all confusion. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, we paskin that you should, even if you're kashering a little spoon, which is only 1/300th of the water in your pot, you should still wait 24 hours before you kasher it, just to avoid any possible confusion that one person will kasher a spoon
that's been yomo, and the next person will kasher a pot that's been yomo, or one person will kasher a small spoon, the other person will kasher a big, thick ladle, and they'll be confused. Wait 24 hours, and there's no chance of confusion. However, b'shas hadchak, we're makel that you can use shishim, and then it will, what do we do b'shas hadchak? If you have to kasher within 24 hours, then we're makel like b'shas hadchak, that as long as you have 60 times as much water as a spoon, that is good enough. What some kashrus agencies do, if they have to kasher big things, and they don't have 24 hours to wait between the trach use and the kosher use, and they don't have shishim, like they're too big, you can't put them in 60 times as much water, let's say it's like equipment built into a factory, you can't put it into anything, then what some kashrus, what some people in the kashrus industry do is, they put a soap or bleach or something in the water to ruin the ta'am, and then the water will be ta'am lifgam, even whether it's been yom or not. The taste will go into the water, but now the water is pugum, so the water can't answer the kalim because it's pugum. So that's what some people do in the kashrus industry, b'shas hadchak, when they have to kasher within 24 hours. In the kashrus industry, the sort of more mahadrim machmirim say, no, we wait 24 hours and we never use kulas. And others say, no, if you put bleach or soap or other disgusting things in the water, then that's perfectly reasonable within 24 hours. And that's what some kashrus agencies do.
Shouldn't you be able to rely on shishim plus that kula?
But they don't have shishim.
No, what I'm talking about, like,
one of the ties, once you have a bunch of small spoons or knives, do you say
kama kama? Great. That is an excellent question. The shach at the end of the siman deals with this. Do you need 60 times each clean or 60 times all the kalim that you're kashering, right? That's your question. Yeah. So, this is the shach, soap, simon, kof, aleph. It's like after he finishes his whole perush, he comes back to it. You know, after the last of cutting, there's like two dots, and then he comes back to it. So he says this is pasher. Let's say you're kashering 30 spoons. Do you need 60 times each spoon in the water, or 60 times all the spoons together in the water?
It's the same thing,
No, let's say you're kashering 30 spoons. Do you need the water to be 60 times the size of a spoon, or 1,800 times the size of a spoon?
That's not the
problem. Okay, so the shach says very posh. If you put in all the kalim at once, then it's obvious. You need 60 times the total of the kalim. That's not interesting. But what if you put in one kli at a time? The shach discusses that depends on the issue of, as Isaac correctly said, kama kama batel versus chozer v'neir.
Do we say that by kalim?
So, do we say kama kama batel, so therefore you need 60 times one kli, or do we say chozer v'neir, and you need 60 times the total of all the kalim, right? So do we say each time that batel disappears, or do we say no, all the trach taste and water add up? That's the discussion of the shach at the end of Siman Kuf Kaf Aleph. He has a big machlokas there with the Itzer v'Heter, with the Levush. Okay, good thing I checked. This is the opinion of the Levush, the Itzer Zahav. And this is the opinion of the shach. And we hold like the shach. That we say chozer v'neir, and therefore shishim, if you have to kasher a lot of kalim, it's hard to have shishim connect them. Because even if you put them one at a time, the trach taste stays in the water, adds up. So you need 60 times all of them. So again, if you have 10 spoons to kasher, you can boil a pot of water that's the size of 600 spoons, and you're fine. But if you have tons of stuff to kasher, then it's going to be hard to find a pot that's 60 times them. Which is another good reason we wait 24 hours, because someone could easily be confused and think you could put in many spoons when really there's only enough to put in one spoon.
Does Liban help something needs to hold?
Yes. And Liban can be done within 24 hours. This whole problem is only for Hagola, Let me mention a fact. This is, if you look in the Hagdama of the Sefer Hagola's Kalim, down in the East Medrash, he has a fascinating essay with outlying shitas that disagree with the mainstream. I'm just going to say the mainstream. The mainstream psak is that there's a difference between Liban and Hagala. Does anyone know what's the difference between how Liban works and how Hagala works?
One fixed it out.
Exactly. Hagala is maflet ha'isser. What does that mean? It makes it go out into the water. Liban is mechala ha'isser. It burns the isser. It just burns it and destroys it. So therefore, in Hagalah, you have to wait 24 hours, ain't a bin yomo, because otherwise the isser will go into the water and make it usser. In Liban, everyone agrees. We don't need to wait 24 hours, because in Liban, when you make something red hot, or very hot, the isser doesn't go anywhere. It just gets burned and destroyed. It just disappears.
What's Liban again?
Liban is like when you blowtorch something. Or you, so in Liban, then, or you put it through the self-cleaning oven, then you don't have to wait 24 hours. But again, so you could say, what if I want to kasha within 24 hours, just do Liban on it. But that's not a practical solution, because most things will break if you do Liban on that. Right? It's only certain very strong things that can withstand Liban. Most kalim will break if you try to do Liban on them. Not only that, it's hard to do Liban.
If you're saying it's in the air, would the Kaz say it's dependent on whether it's all your property or someone else's? Does that make a difference at all?
What?
It's not all yours?
What?
By the spoons, or when you have a lot of spoons.
No, that doesn't make a difference. Okay. I see the hour's late, and we still have miles to go before we didn't even finish the Ramah. Not only that, we didn't even finish the Ramah. Okay, let's finish the Ramah. Okay, everyone, it's Zev's fault, not mine. Adds the Ramah. The English Tamesh Vimei Hagola. Okay, there's something else we have to mention there. And you shouldn't use the Hagola water. Why shouldn't you use the Hagola water? He says, even if you wait 24 hours, you shouldn't use the Hagola water. Why shouldn't you use the Hagola water? The Hagola water is mutter. Only a Talmud Gan went into it. So the reason is, as we mentioned, that even though Talmud Gan is mutter, since it's just water, therefore we're machmir, and we throw out the Hagola water, and we use new water for whatever we need water for, and we don't rely on those in Talmud Gan. Whenever something needs to be kashrut hagola, it doesn't even help to peel off the top layer, because when something needs hagola, it's trafe through and through, not just in the top layer. Ba'ayim elsim kufkaf din marada shel itzer, that we might recall. Okay, there's another big machlokus in the Taz here, but maybe we will come back to that next time. Okay, we probably need to speed through a little more b'chias. Kasher and Kalim, it's a very important thing for rabbis and other Jews to know. So we're going to have to throw in an extra shiur or two. Is this